We talked this morning about the marks of a generation with no fear. No fear. And that, the Lord really burdened me about that message. Brother McBride was preaching, and one of the things he said that one night was about, when he talked about that passage read this morning out of Luke 23, where the one malefactor said to the other, "Don't you fear God?" when he railed on him. And he said, "Don't you have any fear?" When I read that, I thought, wow, what a statement of a person who does not fear God. So we talked this morning, two marks of a person who has no fear of God. Number one, they rage against God. And number two, they ravage the family of God. I wrapped it up this way. A person who has no reverence for the Christ of the body will have no regard for the body of Christ. A person who has no reverence for the Christ of the body will have no regard for the body of Christ. And a person who rages against God, whether we're accusing God, whether we're arguing with God, whether we're answering God and giving Him excuse for why we do or don't do a certain thing, then we're raging against God. And then as we read many passages this morning about those that ravage and tear and divide and bring harm and havoc to the body of Christ. And I see that so much. You hear it from time to time, but we, and I say we because I'm part of you, we do not understand how blessed we are to be in a church where there's unity and folks get along and we're working for the same goal of winning people to Christ. Until you've been in a church that's full of havoc, you don't know how nice it is to be in a church where there's peace and unity and harmony and folks get along and love one another. And that's a great thing. And so we see those types of people have no fear of God. So this evening, I want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. If you would stand with us, please. I reverence the word of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. How important is this matter of fearing God? Well, it is very important. As we talked this morning, and we find exactly how important it is when the wisest man who ever lived gave us his last words of instruction. As we mentioned Wednesday night, Proverbs was written in Solomon's middle age. Song of Solomon was written in his youth, or in his younger years. And then Ecclesiastes was written when Solomon was an old man. So how important is the fear of God? Well, here's how important it is. The wisest man who ever lived, in the last book he ever wrote, he wrote three, emphasize one thing. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Fearing God, the right kind of fear of God, is such a big deal that the wisest man who ever lived in the last of his three books said, let me wrap everything up. And by the way, Proverbs is packed full of wisdom and knowledge that's good for daily living. Psalmist said, let me wrap it all up into one statement. Fear God. Fear God. I want to speak to you this evening on the marks of a God-fearing people. The marks of a God-fearing people. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. Lord, we thank You for what we learned this morning from those that have no fear of God. Lord, sometimes we look at those we talked about this morning and think, well, I would never do that. Lord, as we begin to look more closely at this idea of raging against God, we've done that. We've been guilty of that. And Lord, because of our self-sufficiency, we've not had the right kind of fear. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see tonight the benefits and the marks of a God-fearing people and how You desire that. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, the last instruction he gave is all the commandments, all the precepts, all the proverbs that I've given can be wrapped up in this statement, just fear God. Lord, help us, may we grab hold to this truth tonight, and may we live it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, may be seated. As you mentioned this morning, there's a balance in this idea of fearing God. This morning we talked about really the kind of fear we refer to this morning would be the fear of God's discipline. And we call that an immature fear. Now, is it wrong to fear the discipline of God? No, it's not wrong. Matter of fact, that's healthy. But that's not the best kind of fear. An immature fear fears only the discipline of God. But a mature fear fears the discipline of God and the disappointment of God. In other words, as a young person matures, when they're a small kid, they're scared to death of daddy, and they ought to be. If they had a daddy like I did, they are, I can assure you. I mean, they're scared to death. And so they fear his discipline. As they get older and they mature and their relationship with their parents grows to like it ought to be, they fear not so much their discipline, but they fear their disappointment. They fear they're going to embarrass or hurt their family name or bring disgrace to their parents. And so immature fear fears only the discipline of God. But a mature fear fears not only the discipline of God, but also the disappointment of God. So what's the marks of a God-fearing people? Well, Genesis chapter 22. Number one, first of all, the first mark of a God-fearing people is a God-fearing man trusts God explicitly. Notice what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12. Speaking of Abraham, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. This is when Abraham was getting ready to offer Isaac upon the altar. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The first characteristic of a man who's a God-fearing man is a person who trusts God explicitly. When a person fears God, they trust him. They know he's never going to be unjust. God's never going to be unfair. God is never going to be overbearing. He's a just, loving, he's a faithful God. The Bible said his ways are true and they are perfect. They are complete. They're mature. But we don't see all the ways of God. We only see half the path. But God sees all the path. I don't understand all the things that God does and the way that God works at times. But a man who fears God is a man who trusts God explicitly, not only when he can see the end from the beginning, but when he can only see part way. Remember what Paul said? Paul said, we only see darkly. We see through a glass that we can't see the whole picture. And a man who fears God is a man who says, I can trust God despite the circumstances, despite what I cannot see. And what's so easy to live by faith, or excuse me, live by sight and not by faith. We are taught, we are kind of instilled in us to live by what we see. But I want to tell you, the Christian who really fears God, who has a reverence for God, who fears the discipline of God and the disappointment of God, trust him to the place where they will trust God no matter what the circumstances are. A God-fearing man, number one, trusts God completely. Number two, very quickly, a God-fearing man turns from evil. A God-fearing man turns from evil. Notice these scriptures, Genesis 42 and verse 18. Joseph is a great example, and he said in Genesis 42 verse 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. What kept Joseph from committing adultery with Potiphar's wife? Well, Joseph was an outstanding, yes, he was an outstanding man, but I don't tell you, I believe it was the fear of God. Joseph said, this do and live, for I fear God. Here's what Joseph said. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph understood that what he was about to do was a great wickedness, and it was a great affront to God. And he said, how can I do this and sin against God? Because I fear him. I want to tell you, the fear of God will turn a person from evil. By the way, the right kind of fear from your earthly father will also turn from evil. I'm just going to tell you, I would hate to know what kind of heathen I'd have been had I not had a daddy like the one I had. The thought of living to see another day encouraged me many a times not to do some of the things I would have done. I think I've told you, I remember one occasion, I'm not going to go into all the details because I had to go to therapy if I think about it too long. But I remember one evening, I was at work at the grocery store I worked at, and a young lady who I had no business dating to begin with worked at the store behind me. And I normally got about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and that's what time I normally got. Well, this particular night, it was 10 minutes till 9, and we were done. I mean, that never happened. Now, before you go anywhere with this, all right, I remind you that you're saved by the grace of God just like I am. Because when I tell you the story, you're going to vote me out before church is over. But I wanted to see her before I went home that night. So I called my mom and said, we got a couple more hours of work to do. I'll be home in a couple of hours. As I was clocking out, I jumped in my car, went to the parking lot across the street, walked in the store. My dad had been out of town at a preacher's meeting, was coming back in town, thought he'd swing by just to make sure everything was okay. Of all nights, that's the night he decided to do that. He sees my car, and the other parking lot. Now, my dad had a strict rule. When somebody was working, that was the boss's time. You didn't mess with it. By the way, that's a good rule. Well, he saw my car over there, so he came in the store. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and there he come down the aisle. And I thought, Lord, please, come quickly. Come right now. Lord, come right now. And he was not a happy camper. Now, here's what I knew that he didn't know. He didn't know I'd talk. That was long before cell phones. He had no idea. I'd already told Mom I wouldn't be home for another 2 hours. And he was not happy. And the only thing I'm thinking in the car following him home was, he thinks he's mad now? You just wait about 20 more minutes. He's going to be really mad. And really mad he was. And I prayed for the rapture. Never have I prayed for that so hard in all my life as I did in that 10 minutes home. Seemed like it for an eternity. At the same time, it seemed like it was 2 minutes and we were there. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that my dad instilled the fear of God in me that kept me out of a lot of trouble. Unfortunately, it didn't keep me out of that trouble. But I'll tell you, it kept me out of a lot of trouble. And Joseph said, notice what the Bible said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. God's fear is in front of us so that we'll not sin. We talked this morning about Achan. The Bible said that when God killed Achan, that the people of Israel, they feared God. When Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead, they feared God. And so God's fear is before our faces, and that turns us from evil. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 15, Nehemiah said, but the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. Nehemiah said, the rulers that were before me, they took advantage of the people. They would take their money and unworthily, and they would take advantage of them. And Nehemiah said, I didn't do it for one reason. I feared God. The fear of marks of a man who fears God is a man who will turn from evil. The Bible said in Job chapter 1 verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed or avoided or hated or detested evil. A man who truly fears God will not tolerate, will not allow, will not espouse, will not laugh at evil. Well, I wouldn't do it, but I'm going to laugh at somebody else who does. That wasn't Job's attitude. Job said, I want to be just as far away from sin and iniquity as I can get. I'm not going to espouse it. I'm not going to eschew it. I'm not going to encourage it. I'm not going to enable it. We were talking about prayer this morning in the College Career Sunday School class. And we were talking about praying lazy. And I was conveying to the College Career students that oftentimes I hear parents pray, Lord, help my kids turn out right. But the problem is they don't want to instill the barriers and the guidelines and the rules and instructions to make their kids turn out right. Job said, look, I'm going to make sure that I don't encourage, I don't enable evil in my life. Why? Because he feared God. Notice what the Bible said in Proverbs 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth and iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How do you perfect holiness? In the fear of God. If you want to perfect holiness in our life, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's up our fear and our reverence for a holy, righteous God. And I want to tell you, that will help us perfect holiness in our life. So what's the mark of a man who fears God? Number one, he trusts God completely. Number two, he is also one who turns from evil. Notice number three very quickly. Look in Psalm 25 and verse 12. Psalm 25, verse 12, the third thing about a man who fears God, number three, he's teachable. He is teachable. Psalm 25 and verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Look in verse 14, Psalm 25, 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Turn if you will please to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, a man who fears God, the mark of a God-fearing person, is a man who trusts God. He knows that God is trustworthy, he fears him, and that word fear is a right reverence, it's a respect, it's an awe, so he trusts God completely. Number two, he turns from evil. Number three, he is teachable. The Bible said in Psalm 25 that those that fear the Lord, he will give his secrets, he will teach them in the ways that they should go. Look in Acts chapter 16, look in verse 42. Now, don't look back to that part. But if you look early in the chapter, Paul is going to preach a sermon. It's a rather long sermon, sort of like the one you got this morning. But it's a long sermon, and he ends it around 40, 41. Look in chapter 13 of Acts and look at verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought those that might be priests to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came also the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now go back to verse 42. The Bible says that they were those in the synagogue, gone out of the synagogue, Gentiles besought Paul that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They said, hey, what you heard today, we want to get here again next Sabbath. And the Bible said in verse 44 that almost the whole city came out. Now, what kind of people crave to hear a message one Sunday and hear it again the next Sunday? Go back, if you would, please, to verse 16, you'll find out what kind of people they are. Verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel and ye that fear God, give audience. Can I put it very plainly as I know how to put it? People who fear God can't get enough of good preaching. Now I know you have a difficult time getting good preaching around here. I understand that. But people who fear God, they crave the word of God. They love the word of God. They want instruction. A person who does not fear God, as we talked about this morning, the idea of no boundaries and no rules. I don't want any authority. I don't want anybody instructing me what to do. I don't want anybody judging me. But a person who fears God relishes in learning this book. I want to tell you, God help us to have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God again. In those days, in the book of Acts, the Bible said they heard Paul preach on one Sunday. And they said, you come back and preach the same thing the next Sunday? Now, can you imagine if I preached next Sunday morning what I preached this Sunday morning? Well, about 95% of you wouldn't remember it. But for those that would, you'd say, man, I can't preach this. I can't really preach the same thing again. He may have preached the same thing the next Sunday. And they said, you know what, we can't get enough of it. We want to hear the word of God. We want to be instructed by the word of God. A man who fears God is a man who wants to hear the word of God. He's a man that is teachable, who understands that the precepts of God will lead him in the right path, and he can't get enough of it. There's nothing like being around a new Christian, a new believer. Boy, they read the word of God, and they get in the word of God. They can't get enough. Now, they don't understand it all. They'll botch words and they'll talk about the book of Job and not sure what all that's about, but what's that got to do with how you work. They'll botch up scriptures, but boy, they sure do love it. They eat it up. You know why? Because they fear God. A person who fears God is a person that is teachable. And I want to tell you, this goes a long way. What kind of spirit do we have? As I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, we live in such a self-sufficient age. We're talking this morning about how quickly technology has advanced in just the last 100 years. And if we need to know anything, we'll just Google it. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't know what Google was. And yet we've become so far in technology and so far in education advancement that we've become so self-sufficient that we don't need anybody else's instruction, anybody else's wisdom. And I want to tell you, a man who fears God is not a man who understands, I need God's word. I love being around men like Brother Chan McMillan and men like Brother Robert Taylor. Men, they're 80s and they're 90s. We Brother Chan McMillan not long ago to Preacher's Fellowship. And man, he's 88, I think, 88, 89 years old, somewhere along there. Man, he said, Paul, preacher, wasn't that preaching good today? Man, I needed that. And I'm thinking, if you're 88, 89 years old and you need it, how much more do I need it? Man, a person who fears God is teachable. They're teachable. Notice the fourth thing very quickly. Along with that, they treasure the word of God. Psalm 19 and verse 9 and 10. The fear of the Lord is clean, endured forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord causes us to treasure. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The man who fears God treasures the word of God. He can't get enough of it. Notice what the Bible says again in Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. The fear of the Lord, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Psalm 112 and verse 1. Praise you the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. Not only is he teachable, but he treasures the word of God. Treasures the word of God. I was thinking this. Brother Stanley was telling me a few minutes ago about those going to Africa and giving out those scriptures. I dare say it's not like it is in the United States. I dare say they don't toss them on the ground. I dare say they don't discard them or leave them up on the dashboard for 6 months or 6 years or however long it is. Boy, they treasure the word of God. A person who fears God treasures the word of God. Notice the last thing, and I love this last one. The man who fears God is treated special by God. Notice Psalm 147, verse 11. The Bible says this, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, them that hope in his sanctuary. Did you know that God joys, God delights in those that fear him? And again, we're talking about that fear. We're talking about that awe, that reverence, that high respect. The Bible says that God taketh pleasure in them that fear him. You say, well, God is a just God and God doesn't play favorites. That's not what my scripture says. The Bible says, he said that he taketh great pleasure in them that fear him. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and look in verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 12. God treats special those that fear him. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and notice verse 12. Ecclesiastes 8:12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. If God is merciful to a sinner 100 times, an evil man 100 times, how much more shall God be well with them that fear God? God treats special those that fear him. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, we looked at Malachi chapter 3 this morning. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and shall grow up as calves of the stall. But unto you that fear my name, does the Son of Righteousness appear before him and arise with healing in his wings? God endears himself to those that fear him. I think it could be wrapped up in James chapter 4 where James said, draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh to you. When we begin to fear God, a right reverence, a right regard, I want to tell you, we will be an individual that trusts God completely. We will be an individual that will be teachable. When we fear God, we will turn from evil. If we understand God as we ought to understand God, then we understand that God is holy and God cannot stand iniquity and sin and wickedness. And the more we grow to love him, the more we have to hate that which is wicked and that which is evil. And so a man who fears God as he ought to fear God is going to turn away from, he's going to shun evil. He's going to be teachable. He's going to be a man that treasures the word of God. He's going to be treated special. Acts chapter 10 and verse 35. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted with him. The person that fears God is accepted of God. I believe he's endeared by God. 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse 9. And he charged him, saying, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. Solomon comes to the end of his life. And Solomon has written Proverbs. And what wisdom, what wealth of wisdom are found in the book of Proverbs. And then Solomon comes to the end of his life and he says, we can wrap it up. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. What's the result of a man that fears God? Well, he trusts God completely. He doesn't doubt. He doesn't worry. He doesn't fret. He doesn't wonder if his way might be best. He trusts God completely. A man who fears God is a man who turns from evil. He's not going to lean that way. He's not going to enable wickedness. He's not going to encourage wickedness. He's going to eschew evil. He's going to run from it. He's a man that turns away from evil. He's a man that is teachable. A man that fears God is a man who looks to his word and treasures his word. Then a man who fears God is a man who is treated special by God. The Bible said God endears himself to those that fear him. Now we spent a little bit of lengthy time this morning about fearing God, about the marks of those that do not fear him. I wonder, how much do we fear him? I'm not talking about just his discipline. I'm talking about his disappointment. Do we long to be in his favor? Do we long to draw near to him? Do we long to be more like him? If we do, we will fear him. Solomon said, here's a conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments.